Chapter 13. My lips curled up into a grin as I took in the sight of the bedroom. My women had filled the place with candles, and the cavernous room glowed with flickering golden light. I'd expected an evening of tender cuddles and comfort, but it looked like my lovers had more than that on their minds, which suited me just fine.
"After everything that's happened, we decided we should have some fun together,"
Aaron explained, and her amber eyes glittered with mischief.
"I think you've earned it at this point."
"Has he really earned it, though?"
Syra teased.
"Of course he has,"
Freya replied to the summoner with a sexy smile. The two mages and the shapeshifter eyed me like lionesses on the prowl, and I was ready to hear their proposal. "I'm intrigued." I raised an eyebrow. "What do I have to do for this surprise?"
"You just have to close your eyes,"
Syra instructed.
"And no peeking,"
Aaron giggled.
"Or else we shall have to punish you,"
Freya chimed in. The Hawk Princess's eyes were heavy-lidded with lust, and the way they trailed over the length of my body made my lower half stir with desire. I wanted her. Make her. I wanted all of them. My lovers were all unbearably gorgeous, and I wanted nothing more than to get lost in a sea of long, sexy limbs, plump lips, silky skin, and erotic moans. "What if I'd like to be punished?" I murmured. Aaron bit down on her lower lip and winked, and I almost lost control in an instant. My women weren't playing fair.
"We can arrange that, too. Now, close your eyes, Griff,"
Syra instructed me again.
"We'll tell you when to open them."
"Yes, ma'am," I mock-saluted the curly-haired summoner. Then I dutifully closed my eyes. I heard the feather-soft sound of silk falling to the ground, and my mouth watered as I tried to imagine what was happening.
"Okay, you can look,"
Aaron instructed me, and I happily obliged. My women had stripped down to their lingerie, and my eyes nearly popped out of my skull as I admired their gorgeous bodies. They'd clearly put quite a bit of effort into their lingerie, and each was clad in a similarly cut lacy ensemble that showed off the swells of their frames. Syra's undergarments were the same shade of burgundy as her lipstick. Aaron's was a pale rose color, and Freya's was a deep plum that made her porcelain skin glow like moonlight in the candlelight bedroom. They looked like a trio of goddesses, and I was the lucky man who had the pleasure of being in their presence. "Wow," I sighed. "I don't know what I did to deserve all of this."
"We haven't had a chance to be intimate in a while,"
Aaron murmured softly.
"With all of this stress you've been under, we figured it would be nice to have some fun while we're on this trip."
"I like the sound of that," I chuckled lightly.
"Now, how about you strip down and join us?"
Syra requested with an arched eyebrow. "You don't have to ask me twice," I said. "Your wish is my command, my ladies." I unfastened my bandolier and placed it on the ground beside my boots. Then I pulled my sweater over my head and admired the way my women eyed my chest. I wasn't as heavily muscled as some of the Hawk Clan guards, but I still had a good amount of definition that only improved as time went on. I slowly began to unzip my pants, and my lovers' faces betrayed their lust as they stared longingly at my erect cock.
"I'm going to need you to get over here," Syra purred. "I don't know how much longer I can wait to have you inside of me."
"Someone's a little direct this evening," I laughed. "Not that I'm complaining or anything."
"Would it be too direct to say that I want you in my mouth?"
Aaron asked in a faux innocent voice. Her full pink lips pouted slightly, and all I could think about was how much I wanted them wrapped around me. "Not too direct at all," I murmured. "But I think if you're going to say such things, you need to follow through and show me just how much you want it."
"Lay down, and I'll show you just how much I want you."
Not one to turn down a request from such a beautiful woman, I happily obliged. I climbed onto the enormous bed and laid on my back. And once I was settled, Aaron, Syra, and Freya all joined me. Syra and Freya remained off to the side as Aaron approached me, and when I raised an eyebrow at the two, they flashed me a pair of knowing smiles. Erin sat down with her knees folded under her, and after she gave me a mischievous smile, she bent over, parted her lips, and enveloped my cock with her mouth. Heat flooded through me as she began to bob up and down on my stiff member, and I clutched the sheets for stability as she sucked me with torturous finesse.
Maker, that feels so good,
I groaned, and a tingle ran all the way up my spine from the vibration of Aaron's sultry moan. As the copper-haired mage bobbed up and down on my shaft, Syra began to play with herself, and soon Freya got in on the action too. The hawk shapeshifter leaned forward and took Syra's dark nipple in her mouth. The beautiful blonde swirled her tongue around and sucked at the tender peak, and the dark-skinned summoner arched her back in pleasure.
Fuck!
She quivered as Freya reached up and squeezed Syra's rounded mounds. The combination of sucking and squeezing seemed to be just the thing the curly-haired mage wanted, and she soon leaned her head back as she sighed. Syra reached down, parted her glistening lips with her fingers, and began to pleasure her clit in a circular motion. Her fingers flew increasingly faster as Freya flicked her tongue over Syra's nipples, and the umber-skinned summoner began to quiver and moan as an orgasm crashed over her. Meanwhile, Erin had grown bolder with her movements and deepened her strokes until I could feel my tip graze the back of her throat, and the orange-haired mimic's nose grazed my stomach as she leaned into the motion. When she pulled herself back up, she ran her nimble tongue up the length of me. Then she flicked her tongue over the head of my member, and I nearly lost control of myself.
Maker, Erin, that feels incredible, I gasped.
The mimic's mouth molded around my shaft, combined with the sight of Freya and Syra playing with one another, was driving me fucking insane, and I was barely hanging on for dear life as desire surged through me. Erin moved up and down for a little while longer, and it took my everything not to erupt right into her mouth. Just when I was on the verge, Aaron's lips released me with a wet pop of sound.
Freya, I think he's all ready for you,
Erin murmured as she wiped a string of saliva from the corner of her mouth. The hawk princess gave me a coy smile and pulled away from Syra's breasts.
Shall we?
Freya asked the curly-haired mage conspiratorially. From the way Syra's chest heaved, I knew she was still coming down from her climax, but she certainly looked ready for a second round of pleasure, because she nodded her head enthusiastically.
Yes, please.
The two disentangled their bodies from one another, and once they were separated, they reached down and gently shimmied out of their lace panties in a fluid and simultaneous motion. I admired the perfection of their naked bodies as they crawled back over to me, and I found myself wondering how I'd managed to find such perfect women.
He's all yours,
Erin addressed Freya in a breathy voice. The Hawk Princess's pupils were so dilated, they practically eclipsed her irises, and they grew even darker when she nimbly swung one leg over and straddled me. Her pussy glistened with the slick wetness that made my mouth water, and before I could utter a word, Freya gripped my cock in her hand and guided me inside of her. As she lowered herself onto me with ease, pleasure flooded my body, and the muscles of her tight tunnel constricted my cock like a vice.
Oh, Maker!
I gasped. Freya sensually rolled her hips and began to ride me, and I nearly saw stars as my senses went into overdrive. My blonde wife moved slowly at first, and I groaned as her lips dragged up the length of my rock-hard member, and then back down again. Then Freya began to pick up momentum, and soon we fell into a hastened rhythm that made me feel as if I were flying. Out of the corner of my eyes, I saw Erin had parted her legs and began to finger herself. Breathy moans escaped her mouth, and her amber eyes were hooded with lust as she watched Freya ride me like a champion. I watched with fascination as Erin's fingers snuck further down, and she inserted them inside of herself. She moved in and out as she mirrored the rhythm of Freya's movements, and my head tilted back as blood pounded in my ears. The sounds of our bodies clasping against each other combined with the choir of moans and sighs filled the room, and I was surprised the sounds of our lovemaking didn't wake all of Hawk Clan. Syra leaned over to kiss me, and the vanilla and cloves taste of her tongue was fucking irresistible. My senses went into overdrive as she gently bit my lower lip and pulled.
Ah, fuck!
I groaned, and I reached up to cup Syra's breasts for myself. The full pert mound filled up my palm, and Syra began to moan as I squeezed and kneaded her. I want to taste you, I moaned in between kisses. Really taste you. Move up here. Syra understood me immediately. My umber-skinned wife repositioned herself, and as she straddled my face with her muscular thighs, I was suddenly consumed by the sight, smell, and taste of her arousal. I gripped her thigh and squeezed gently as I sampled the slick wetness of her plump pussy lips, and the taste of her exquisite juices exploded on my tongue. Syra was impossibly sweet, like sugared honey, and as I lapped at her ready pussy, her hips began to buck and quake. I explored every inch of her with my tongue, and the summoner mage clenched around me with every taste. She hadn't waited long between orgasms, and I knew by the way she tightened around me that she was moments away from coming. Moments later, my dark-skinned wife went rigid and came with a high-pitched, earth-shattering cry.
Oh, Griff!
She moaned, and her juices flowed steadily into my ready mouth as I drank up every last drop of her. Once she stopped shaking, Syra eased herself off me and laid down on her back as she struggled to catch her breath. Then, when she settled, she swept Aaron into her arms, and the pair held each other tenderly. I gripped Freya's hips as the princess rode me even faster, and I knew we were mere moments away from climax. Suddenly, Freya's walls tightened around me and constricted my cock with an impressive force. And as the hawk princess cried out, a tingle ran up my spine. I finally lost my control and erupted in a burst of pleasure. My entire body quaked, and I dug my hands into Freya's slender hips as rivers of my hot seed flooded her tight velvet tunnel.
Fuck!
I groaned, and my body convulsed as I continued to pump out gallons of my sperm in powerful streams, until Freya overflowed with my juices. We rode the waves of our climaxes, and when Freya eased herself off me, I pulled Aaron close and flipped her so she was on her back. Then I climbed on top of the mimic, parted her porcelain legs, and guided my wet cock between her dripping lips. I made sure Aaron received the same glorious pleasure she'd gifted me, and once she achieved multiple orgasms of her own, my women and I switched up our positions again. We spent what felt like an eternity sucking, fucking, and pleasuring each other until we physically couldn't go any further. And I came multiple times in each of them, so I guessed the talk about waiting a bit to have babies was out the window. Once we were all satiated and perfectly spent, we laid down on the bed to catch our breaths. My heart thudded in my chest, and my breath came in pants as I wound down from the festivities. That was certainly the best surprise I could have asked for, I sighed.
Us too,
Syra breathed, and the chocolate-skinned mage let out a sigh that mimicked mine perfectly.
That was incredible. I don't know about all of you, but I'm about to fall asleep.
Aaron yawned, and her button nose crinkled up in the most adorable way.
Me too,
Freya agreed, and she rested her head against my chest. The lavender and sea salt smell of her hair lulled me into a relaxed state, and soon my eyelids struggled to remain open. We should do this again sometime, I proposed in a sleepy voice.
Perhaps we can invite the others next time,
Syra chimed in. This time, it was my turn to let out a yawn, and I reached the point of no return. The bed was far too comfortable, and the sea of warm bodies enveloped me until I drifted off to a pleasant, dreamless rest. The rest of the week was thankfully less eventful than our first evening. We'd yet to see any other members of Moose Clan in Eerie, and though that was good news, we, unfortunately, couldn't track any stragglers on the mountainside either. I hoped the absence of moose shifters meant the ones who'd occupied Erie were all involved in the attack, and not that they were just skillfully hidden away from us. Fenrir had upped his personal guard in response to the attack, and assigned 2 overly muscled warriors to follow Vala, and 4 to linger outside of my family's doorway. I didn't feel like the guards were entirely necessary, but if they gave my father-in-law peace of mind, that's all that mattered. Near the middle of the week, I found myself missing the rest of my family. This vacation was exactly what Freya had needed, but I missed having the rest of my women along with us. As I pictured what they would be doing back in Mistral, my mind circled back to the Mistwolf threat. Even though we hadn't seen any in the weeks preceding this trip, I had a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach, and I decided I needed to take measures to ease my unease. I reached deep into the corners of my consciousness and released the bonds that kept Sarah locked away. The dark-winged Arkin stirred within my mind, and her soft laugh was like a pull of honey.
"How may I serve you, my love?"
she asked in a breathy tone. "My love?" I smirked. "That's a new one. I didn't realize you felt so strongly about me, Sarah."
I meant to say master," Sarah stammered,
and it was strange to hear the goddess sound so flustered.
"It was a slip of the tongue, nothing more."
"Mm-hmm," I drawled. "That's quite the slip." I suppose I couldn't be too surprised the yellow-eyed Arkin felt a strong connection toward me. Of all of the Arkins, she and I had been together the longest.
"Is there anything I can help you with?"
Sarah mumbled.
"Or would you rather spend your time mocking me?"
"I was only teasing," I said gently. "I'd never mock you, Sarah. But yes, there was something I wanted to ask of you."
"Name it."
"I know we're set to return to Mistral in a few days, and I'm sure my women are doing just fine on their own. But could you use your teleportation magic and check in on them?" I requested. "I don't have another way to contact them, and I just have this sneaking feeling that something bad is going to happen."
"You're far more superstitious than I would have guessed you to be."
"I'd prefer to think of myself as intuitive rather than superstitious," I laughed lightly. "I know I sound overly cautious, but I'd rather be wrong than ignore my gut feeling and have something happen when I'm not there."
"The way you care for your friends and family is admirable,"
Sarah complimented me.
"I'll leave as soon as you release me from this cell."
"Right," I remembered. I reached into my mind and released the holds around the Arkin, and once they were undone, I sensed Sarah stretch out. Suddenly, my back began to tingle where Sarah's mark resided, and a stream of essence manifested before me until it took the shape of the dark-winged goddess. Sarah winked at me with one brilliant yellow eye, and then disappeared with a wave of her pale hand. As her portal shimmered away, I forced the nervous dread that had built up in my gut to vanish. I'd have my answer soon, and hopefully my unease amounted to nothing. That evening, while Freya and my lovers were off running errands with Rhaetreia, I roamed one of the higher levels of Hawk Clan's dwelling. The women had taken the babies with them, so I took advantage of the opportunity to stroll around the areas that would have been impossible with an infant in my arms. It was easier to traverse the rope bridges on my own, so I made it a point to get some exercise and explore more of Hawk Clan. Various shapeshifters greeted me with a mix of awe and pleasantness, though a few eyed me warily. While a good amount of the shifters had warmed up to me, there were still some ritual distrust for outsiders that lingered.
"Grief?"
I heard Chief Fenrir's voice call out to me as I was about to step onto another bridge.
"May I speak with you?"
I turned around to see the Hawk leader speeding after me, so I stopped in my tracks and waited for him to catch up, which didn't take too long. His grand height made his strides at least twice as long as mine, and I had no doubt he could reach a considerable fast speed if he really put his mind to it. "Of course," I nodded at him. "What's going on?"
"I have some concerns about my daughter, and I don't know how to proceed,"
Fenrir admitted. My father-in-law's voice was softer than I was used to, and his dark brown eyes darted around as if he didn't want to be heard by anyone else. I inclined my head to non-verbally suggest we move, and Fenrir gave a nod of approval. We stepped away from the bridge and ducked into a more secluded space. And once we were sure we were alone, the Hawk Leader and I resumed our conversation.
Are you worried about Freya?
I frowned.
No.
He shook his head firmly.
It's Vola.
Does this have to do with the Moose Clan attack? I asked, though I already knew the answer.
Yes.
Fenrir nodded.
The Moose Shifter's words have settled deeper within me than I expected them to, and it's come at the cost of a few sleepless nights. Grief, I am worried about my Vola's safety.
Do you think they'll come back? I wondered. The Moose Shifters.
I don't know.
Fenrir sighed.
And there lies the problem. As my daughters grew up, I always thought my Freya would be the one to take over the rule of Hawkland once I reached the end of my life. She is a powerful warrior, stubborn, but with the biggest heart. I have always known she would make a great ruler, and she would preside over Hawkland like no queen before her.
I sort of ruined that plan, didn't I? I asked quietly.
No,
Fenrir insisted.
No, my son, you have not ruined anything. You are the best thing that could have ever happened to my daughter. Had she not met you, Hawkland could have fallen to Moose Clan's invasion long ago. There would not have been treaties or agreements between the different clans. We would have continued with the old ways until who knows how long, if there hadn't been someone to unite us.
Thank you, sir, I said. Freya means everything to me, and meeting her was one of the greatest moments of my life. I'm lucky to have a wife who is willing to leave her homeland to follow me.
She would follow you to the ends of the earth, if you asked her to,
Fenrir affirmed.
And it seems my Freya has adapted well to her new life. Freya belongs with you in Mistral. I accepted this the moment I realized how loyal she was to you. And there are no hard feelings between us for that.
I appreciate that, sir. I nodded.
In the time Freya has been away, Vola has proven herself capable of ruling.
Fenrir continued on, and his lips curled up in a proud smile.
She is dedicated to Hawkland, and she's been doing all she can to learn of history, battle strategy. She's even joined me in meetings with the other clan chiefs, so she can learn how to speak better with the other leaders.
Are you implying what I think you are? I wondered.
I've decided that when she comes of age, the rule of Hawkland will fall to Vala,
Fenrir revealed.
I wouldn't dare ask Freya to leave Mistral, not when she's established and happy there.
I think she'll make a wonderful leader. I grinned at the chief. Especially with you as a teacher, Fenrir.
Thank you, Griff.
The Hawk Shifter offered me a curt nod.
She is still young, and while her power and strength has matured with her age, she has still much to learn. But I believe she will rise to the occasion. However, the threats from Moose Clan worry me greatly. Not for my own safety, but for that of my wife and of Vala. I fear they will return and try to harm her again, once you and your wives leave us.
Father?
Fenrir and I turned around to find Vala behind us. The young Hawkshifter's arms were crossed against her chest, and her eyes studied us with a scrutinizing gaze.
Vala?
Fenrir cleared his throat.
We were just speaking of...
My safety,
Vala finished for her father.
Yes, I overheard.
What have we told you about lurking?
Fenrir sighed, and from his stance alone, I could tell the young Hawk heir had heard this before.
It's different this time,
Vala insisted.
This time, the conversation involved me. I understand the concerns for my safety. Trust me, the Moose Clan rebels put fear within me I did not expect, and I too have shared in your sleepless nights, father. But I have a solution to our problem.
Go on,
Fenrir prompted her in a reluctant tone. He crossed his arms in front of his broad chest and waited for his daughter to continue.
You fear for my safety as the heir apparent,
Vala continued on, and her facial expression was more serious than I'd ever seen it.
Miss Clan's numbers may not be what they used to be, but that doesn't mean they aren't a threat. And who knows if they'll send another set of assassins.
Yes.
I have a solution that might sound a little drastic, but I believe it's a good solution.
The Hawk Princess began, and then she took a deep breath.
Can I go to Mistro with Freya and Griff? At least for a short while, until the threat of Moose Clan fades.
My eyebrows shot skyward as I stared at the russet-haired hawk shifter. Vala, I saw the logic of her idea, but with everything going on, I wasn't sure Mistral was the place for the young hawk shifter to go. There were a lot of pros and cons to weigh, and my mind was moving too slowly to compute them all as the hawk shifters watched me.
To Mistral,
Fenrir repeated back to her, and his face was as shocked as mine probably was.
Safety aside, I think it would be important for me to go.
Vala declared.
If I am to one day be the leader of Hawk Clan, I want to be as learned as possible. How can I be a good ruler if I do not understand the ways and the customs of the people in the lands beyond us? If the clans are ever to truly form an alliance with Mistral, we need to create the relationship now. My intentions might sound unattainable at present, but one day, I hope all of the continents will achieve a general understanding of one another. We shouldn't be strangers to one another. We should all be aligned together to fight the Shadow Beasts and other further threats to our land.
I was surprised by Vala's short speech. Her words sounded like they belonged to an older and wiser leader, not from a young girl of not even 18. I'd really underestimated the younger Hawk woman. And I vowed not to let that happen again.
Griff, what words do you have for this situation?
Fenrir wondered as he studied his daughter with a scrutinizing gaze. Vala's large emerald eyes fixed on me as she awaited my response, and I knew I owed it to her to stand up for her. I think what Vala says is very mature, I said. She brings up an excellent point about learning about different cultures. I attend an academy back in Mistral, and we have teachers who would probably have no qualms with teaching Vala Mistral's ways. Freya has been a student since she arrived back with me, and she's taken a real shining to academics. Furthermore, I'd be happy to keep her under my protection. We have more than enough room in our home for her.
You've a vulture,
Fenrir pressed.
Keep her safe.
Of course I would, I assured him. Vala is family, and I will do everything in my power to keep her safe until she can return to you. The Hawk Chief furrowed his eyebrows and took a minute to consider the idea further.
All right,
Fenrir agreed in a softened tone.
I trust you, Griff, and I trust you, Vala. Your safety is my priority, daughter. And if you feel safe with Griff and his family in Mistral for the time being, I'm open to the possibility. Of course, Griff must discuss it with his wives first.
I'll speak with them about it this evening, I suggested. I'm sure they won't take any issue with it.
I won't take offense if you decide against it,
Vala replied maturely.
But I really would love to stay with you.
I'll let you know as soon as I speak with them, I promised the young hawk shifter.
Thank you.
My sister-in-law nodded at me, and then she turned to Fenrir.
Father, will you walk me back to my room?
Absolutely,
Fenrir said. He extended a large hand out to his daughter, and after she accepted it, he looked back to me.
I'll see you all for dinner tonight.
We wouldn't miss it, I replied. The hawk leader gave me a thin-lipped smile, and then he and Vala disappeared over the bridge. I went in the opposite direction and returned back to my chamber. I sat my women down straight away and explained the situation to them. Syra and Aaron nodded their heads as I recounted the hawk leader's words, while Freya's face remained unreadable.
Vala will be coming with us,
the blonde warrior repeated back to me once I'd finished. Yes, I nodded. If that's okay with all of you. Your father was worried about her safety, and after we discussed it a little, we decided the best thing to do for Vala is to get her away from Eerie Island, at least for a little while.
As long as she lingers around, Moose Clan might return.
I would feel much more comfortable if she returned with us,
Freya admitted after a moment of consideration.
Hawk Clan must have a living heir. And since the rule of Hawk Clan will one day fall to Vala, we must keep her safe.
You'll be able to get some more sisterly bonding time in as well, I pointed out to her. Freya's full pink lips curled into a smile.
That is also true.
I think she's going to like Varlay, I said. It will be good for her to see beyond the territories and experience parts of the world she wouldn't see otherwise.
I think she'll enjoy it too,
Freya mused.
I have grown to love it.
Aaron, Syra, I prompted my other lovers. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea.
Aaron nodded in agreement.
If we have the capability to keep Vala safe, we should do it.
Thank you. I offered her a small smile, and then I shifted my focus to Syra.
She's the sister of my sister wife,
Syra said simply.
I'd do anything to keep her safe. If you and Finrir think taking her back to Valais for a while is the right call, I'll back you on it. Besides, I think it would be good for Vala, and not to mention pretty fun for us.
Her chocolate eyes sparkled as they darted over to Freya, and my women shared an amused smile. It's decided then, I confirmed. I'll tell Vala the news this evening. Finrir and Rhetrea want us to dine with them.
Perfect,
Freya smiled at the group.
Thank you all for your generosity. I appreciate your willingness to open up our home to my sister.
That evening, after we shared the news with Vala, our large family sat down and enjoyed a simple meal of fish and root vegetables. Finrir and Rhetrea confirmed their consent of the plan, and while Rhetrea seemed saddened by the idea of her youngest child leaving home, I knew the Hawk Queen wanted the best for Vala.
This will not be forever,
Finrir insisted to his wife gently.
Vala will return to us as soon as it is safe for her to do so.
I know,
Rhetrea nodded at her husband, and she rested her hand on his arm.
This is all for the best, and I know Vala will be taken care of by Griff and his family. Thank you, Griff, for helping our family in this time of need.
That's what family is for, I insisted. Even though the Moose Clan surprise attack was an awful situation, I was glad some good came from it. I had a feeling Vala was going to adapt well to Enclave life, just as her sister had.
Enough talk of departure, Finrir proposed. Let us enjoy this evening together and put all thought of Moose Clan and other enemies behind us.
We did just that. And after another wonderful evening of food, conversation, and cooing over our adorable babies, we retired again to our chambers. The next morning, I awoke with a start and was surprised to see a pair of bright yellow eyes staring at me.
Syra?
I frowned as I took in the sight of the Arkan.
What's going on? Did you get word from Mistral?
The dark-winged goddess's appearance was not as pristine as usual. Her raven-black hair was wind-tangled, as if she'd been running, and her yellow eyes were frantic as they bore into mine.
Griff, you must return at once,
Syra insisted.
The Mistwolves have returned to Mistral, and they're closing in quickly.